the Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin establishes, and we mentioned this last week, but we didn't get into it, that Ein Yotzim, Ein Motzin, Lemelchemes Rishus, LLP, Bezin Shel Shivim V'Echad. So the king himself is not authorized to send the troops out to battle in a case of Melchemes Rishus. He must get the authorization of the highest court in the land of Bezin Shel Shivim V'Echad. Our discussion today will focus on this concept called Melchemes Rishus, and specifically where to classify Amalek. Why would I have any question about Amalek? Amalek L'chora is a classical Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchamal Hashem Ba'Amalek Midar Dar. But Rashi bothers our mind over here, because Rashi says, Dibra Maschel B'Melchemes HaRishus, that's the fourth of the wide lines, Kol Melchama Kari Rishus. Rashi includes all wars under Rishus, which means that we need Bez Nagadol. Levad, the only exception that Rashi recognizes, is Melchemes Yoshua, Shohaiso Lichbosh Es Eretz Yisrael. So when Yoshua goes out to conquer the land, he doesn't need any approval from the Bez Nagadol, because that's your Melchemes Mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Yoshua to conquer the land, called Nesham Lo Sechaya, and completely destroy the inhabitants of the land. So if Rashi singles out Melchemes Yoshua as the only case of Melchemes Mitzvah, which doesn't require the approval of the Bez Nagadol, all other Melchemes are considered Melchemes Rishus. Rashi seems to imply, therefore, that Amalek is a Melchemes Rishus. We're going to compare that Rashi to the Rambam. The Rambam, in Perikei Milchus Melachim, says the following: Ein HaMelech Nilcham Tchila El Melchemes Mitzvah. The king is authorized to go out to battle in a case of Melchemes Mitzvah. Otherwise, Melchemes Rishus, he needs Bezdin HaGadol, Shivim V'Echad. So then the Rambam continues. The Ezehi Melchemes Mitzvah, Zu Melchemes Shiva Amanim, U Melchemes Amalek. So the Rambam has not only the Melchemes of Yoshua to conquer the land as a case of Melchemes Mitzvah, he also has Melchemes Amalek. Melchemes Mitzvah in Tzorach Lito Bar Rishus Bezin, says the Rambam, the king just goes out to battle. El Yotze Meatzim Bekol Eis Vekofam Lotzes. And the king has the power to enforce the Yitzhiyah L'Melcham. Aval Melchemes Rishus, then the Rambam says, Ein Emotzi Ha'am Ba El Alpi Bezin Shel Shivim V'Echad, and here the Rambam codifies our Mishnah, that for a Melchemes Rishus we need the approval of the Bezin of Shivim V'Echad. But clearly the Rambam holds that Melchemes Mitzvah includes not just Zayin Amavim, but also Melchemes Amalek. Our Rashi seems to imply that every Melchama, with the exception of Yoshua, is a Melchemes Rishus, which would mean, therefore, that Amalek is a Melchemes Rishus. And the question is, why? Why should Melchemes Amalek be Melchemes Rishus? Clearly, the Torah commands us to destroy Amalek. Now, the Gemara at the end of Sota says, HaKol Yotzim L'Melchama L'Melchemes Mitzvah Filu Kala Michu Pasa. This is a source for women that in a Melchemes Mitzvah, they have to go out to battle. And Rashi interprets that only applies to Kibush Eretz Yisrael, that the women are obligated to go out to battle to conquer Eretz Yisrael, but doesn't apply to Melchemes Amalek. So Rashi holds that women are exempt from Melchemes Amalek, which is all fine and dandy, because Rashi is very consistent. Since Rashi holds that Melchemes Amalek is not Melchemes Rishus, then we have a principle of Nashim Lab Benos Melchamen, and women don't go out to battle. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that Melchemes Mitzvah, Hayne Melchemes Shivas Amim V'Amalek, V'Nashim Yotzos Af L'Melchemes Amalek. So the Rambam is very consistent, since his opinion is that Melchemes Amalek is Melchemes Rishus. The Mishnah in Sota says that women go out to Melchemes Mitzvah, so therefore women have to go out to Melchemes Amalek. The Gemara itself in Sota never mentions explicitly Melchemes Amalek. It only mentions Melchemes Yoshua L'Kibush Ha'aretz. And Rashi says that Melchemes Mitzvah that includes the women, that's only Kigon Shekibush Eretz Yisrael B'mei Yoshua. HaKol Yotzim, even women go out. So Rashi again, consistent to his shita, is that the only Milchemes mitzvah that we have is Milchemes Kibush Eretz Yisrael. That doesn't require the approval of Shiv V'Yechad, and women are included in that obligation. But Milchemes Amalek is not included, not classified as Milchemes mitzvah. Therefore, number one, the Melech will need the approval of the Beis Hanagdol, and number two, women are exempt from that mitzvah. The Rambam, on the other hand, would include women in Milchemes Amalek, and he explicitly alleviates the king of any responsibility vis-a-vis the Beis Hanagdol in order to be Yotze from Milchemes Amalek. But how could Rashi possibly hold that Milchemes Amalek is Milchemes Rishus? I mean, the mitzvah, the Torah says, Milchamol Hashem Amalek Dor Midor Dor. Every generation we have to go after this great mitzvah of destroying Amalek, of Milchemes Amalek. Now there's another piece in which Rashi seems to be again consistent with his shita, leaving out Amalek. And that's the Parashin Ki Tetze of Eishes Yifas Toar. Rashi insists that the parasha of Eishes Yifas Toar only applies to a Milchemes Rishus. In the case of a Milchemes Mitzvah, let's say for example Yoshua to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says, then there's no Vishavisa Shivyo. There's no, we don't take any captives. We don't take any ladies as Shavisa Shivyo. And Rashi specifically mentions Milchemes Eretz Yisrael. That's a Milchemes Mitzvah. And in Milchemes Mitzvah, we don't apply the heter of Eishes Yifas Torah. So it seems from Rashi, since he excludes any other Milchama other than Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, that Amalek, according to Rashi, would fit under the category of Milchemes Rishus. And therefore, there would be a parasha of Eishes Yifas Toar. The Rambam, on the other hand, classifies, as we saw before, Milchemes Amalek as Milchemes Mitzvah. Milchamol Hashem Amalek Midor Dor. Hence, the parasha of Eishes Yifas Toar, according to the Rambam, would not apply to Milchemes Amalek, because like Eretz Yisrael, which is a Milchemes Mitzvah, there's no heter of taking any hostages, any captives. So therefore, the whole parasha of Eishes Yifas Toar doesn't apply. But Rashi seems to apply the principle of Eishes Yifas Toar even in the case of a Milchemes Amalek.
He doesn't say, he says a deal, not explicit.
Right. None of this is based on explicit, but Rashi consistently, three times over we have, identifies Milchemes Mitzvah as Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua to conquer the land. Let's go over the three times now. Number one, Rashi says that here at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin that you need the approval of Sanhedrin for all Milchamas, Rashi says, with the only exception of Yoshua, implying that Milchemes Amalek would require Shivim, the Echad, the approval of the Beis Hanagdol. Number two, in the case of Noshim, Rashi says in the Mishnah in Sota that Afilu Kala Yotzis Michupasu is only for the Milchama of Kibush Zayin Amamim of Yoshua, implying that women are not obligated to Milchemes Amalek. And the reason for that is because Rashi holds that Milchemes Amalek is not a Milchemes Mitzvah. And number three, Rashi, in the exclusion of Eishes Yifas Toar, excludes only Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, because that's a Milchemes Mitzvah, implying that Milchemes Amalek is not a mitzvah at all. It's only a Rishus. Now, in all three cases, the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. And this is explicit in the Rambam. Number one, the Rambam says that a melech can take the people out and force the people to go out to war against Amalek without Beis Din HaGadol, classifying, therefore, the Milchama of Amalek as a Milchemes Mitzvah. Number two, the Rambam explicitly says that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Milchemes Amalek, because Milchemes Amalek is Milchemes Mitzvah, and the Mishnah says Milchemes Mitzvah filu kala yotzeis michupaso. And number three, the Rambam says that the heter of Eishes Yifas Toar does not apply neither in the case of Milchemes Yoshua l'kibush Zayin Amamim, nor in the case of Milchemes Amalek, because the only parsha of Heter Yifas Toar is only in a Milchemes Rishus, but not in a Milchemes Mitzvah. The Rambam clearly holds, and he's very consistent, that Milchemes Amalek is a Mulchemes Mitzvah. And that makes absolute sense because the Torah commands us in the Mitzvah of Mulchemes Amalek.
Are we talking about the historical Mulchemes Amalek or a future Mulchemes Amalek?
All, the Rambam is talking about all three
because
world generations.
The historical ones, you could say, well, connected to Kibbutz Yisrael. And yeah.
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know if the.
Oh, it's Shotem Shalom Melech.
Yeah, I don't know if he had to limit himself just to Eretz Yisrael. That I can't tell you. That's not my impression, but certainly the Rambam in both Melech Yotzei L'Melchama without the approval of the Beis Lagadol, the Rambam in the case of Noshim, and the Rambam in the case of Fasor, in all cases he says Melchemes Amalek throughout the generations is considered, is classified as a Melchemes Mitzvah. And again, Rashi makes a lot of sense. By the way, this Rashi about Eishes Yifas Tohar is problematic because the Rashi, when he says that there's no heter of Yifas Tohar in the case of Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, he says because the Torah says Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, and that means that the Torah precludes any possibility of taking women captive. Now, if we apply that logic to Milchemes Amalek, then once again there should be no heter of Eishes Yifas Tohar because in the case of Amalek. And this was maybe Sholomel's great sin, but the Torah commands us to destroy all of Amalek. There are no captives. We don't take any captives from Amalek. So Rashi Lashitoso should have applied the principle that there's no heter yifas toar in the case of Melchemes Amalek simply because we have to destroy all of Amalek and there's no room for taking captives. So that's a problem unto itself. Now, if you have these pages that I gave out to you, what we're about to begin is on the bottom of page Yud Ches, on the right column, Vehine. And what we're going to do is now we're going to leave Rashi on the side for a moment, and we're going to pick up the Sefer HaChinuch. And to a large extent, the Sefer HaChinuch is very similar to Rashi. So if we can, through by analyzing the Minchas Chinuch on the Sefer HaChinuch, we can come up with some explanation for the Sefer HaChinuch, we might be able to apply that to Rashi as well. Here's the issue. When we talk about a Melchemes Mitzvah, what we're talking about is a tzibur. In other words, there's a nation, and our nation goes to battle against that nation. There may be more than one nation, but it's always within the framework of a tzibur. What would happen, for example, in the case of Kibush Yehoshua, if a member of one of the seven nations would come by, would you have to kill him under the law of Melchemes Kibush Eretz Yisrael, of Zayin Amimin? And here the chinuch has a radical chiddush. Without this chinuch, I would have said that if you happen to chance upon encounter a Yavusi, you don't have to kill a Yavusi. It's not within the framework of Melchama, which is a Chovas Tzibur. But take a look at the chinuch in Mitzvah Tov Chav Hei, Larog Zayin Amimin, and he says the following, the Over Al Zeh, he wants to tell you that you violate not only an essay but a lav if you don't fulfill this, because it's both an essay and a lav. Bal yado echad mehem. Now, what does that language indicate? Bal yado echad mehem. Are we talking about a whole nation, or are we talking about an individual? What does it sound like to you? Bal echad biyado echad mehem.
Sounds like one person.
One person, right? Echad mehem. We're not talking about a whole nation. V'yachal lahargo, and you have the ability to kill it. Miblishi yistakin b'dor. Okay, you have to underline those three words. We'll come back to that in a minute. You would not be putting your life into danger. V'lo harago, and you didn't live up to your obligation to kill this individual. Is bitel essay zu? He has been mevatel the essay of Zayin Amamim, milvad in addition, she'over al alav she'never lo sechai kol neshama. Now, the first issue that we have to put on the table is that the chinuch must have had some source from which he derived the conclusion that this mitzvah is not incumbent on the tzibur as a framework of melchama, but rather it's vis-a-vis every single individual member of the Zayin Amimin. That's the first point we have to put on the table. The Minchas Chinuch, in his commentary, he's putting a different agenda. His agenda is, what is the Minchas, why did the Chinuch add these three, this stipulation in three words? It says, Mibli Shi Yistakin B'Dovah. says this the Minchas Kiddush, that undermines the very concept of Mulchama. If you're going to tell me that I'm potter from the mitzvah Mulchama because I put my life into danger, there's no such thing as Mulchama. You've just undermined the whole enterprise of Mulchama. So therefore, says the Minchas Kiddush, the essence of this mitzvah that makes it very unique is that HaTorah Tzivtza Lilochem HaMoyim, the Torah says go out to battle, and Derech HaOlam, you know, if you're going out to battle, we're going to have to lose some soldiers on our side as well. Chazinon, what we see therefore is that Torah Gozra, the Torah decreed Lilochem HaMoyim after Hu Sakana. So if the Sefer Achinuch for some reason has a source for the mitzvah Mulchama, even against a yachid, then I have to put my life into danger within the context of that mitzvah Mulchama. And dechuya sakana b'makom hazeh, the concept of sakana is completely undermined with regard to this mitzvah. This mitzvah is on a very high level, a very unique mitzvah. And the Minchas Chinuch leaves this Chinuch b'tzarech iyun. He doesn't come to any conclusion. So the Brisker Rabban is Pirush al Torah, Parashas B'shalach, the Parashah of Mulchama. He says the following: that when is it true? And there's no question about it that the mitzvah of Mulchama is docha sakon. That's only when we go out to Mulchama as a Mulchama. There's another din, which again is the chiddush of the Sefer HaChinuch in the case of Zayin Hamamim, that even outside of the framework of Mulchama, even if one individual member of the Zayin Hamamim appears in front of us, we have a mitzvah to destroy it. Says the Brisker Rav, that's not a mitzvah Mulchama. That's a whole new category, a whole new branch of the mitzvah of Zayin Hamamim. So in Zayin Hamamim, we have two different categories that overlap. We have a mitzvah Mulchama, b'toras Mulchama, and then we have a mitzvah, Bol Yodu Echem Mizayin Amim, Shalom Imulchama, and you have to kill him. Says the Brisker Rav, there's a fundamental difference between the first and the second. In the first case, when we have a mitzvah Mulchama, and we're going out to battle against the nation, then you have to put your life into danger. Within the law of Mulchama, by the very essence of Mulchama, you have to put your life into danger. And Dechuya Sakar Eitzel Mulchama. Masha Enkin, if you're talking about Bol Yodo Echad Mihem, and you have a mitzvah to kill him, that's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah in the Torah. That's not elevated to the status of a mitzvah Mulchama. It doesn't have that unique halach that you have to put your life into danger. There's no Dechuya Sakana. The Torah says V'chaibem with regard to all mitzvahs. So this mitzvah of killing one member of Yavusi, for example, right? That's not a mitzvah Mulchama. That's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. It's governed by the universal laws that apply to any other mitzvah, namely v'chayma and v'lo shiyamus b'hem. So when the Chinuch adds this stipulation of Miblishi yistakein b'dov, because your life is not in danger, that's only when he's addressing this new category of Bal Liyado Echad Mihem. And Bal Liyado Echad Mihem means outside the framework of Mulchama. Then it comes under a general mitzvah like any other mitzvah, and you're bound by the V'chaibahem, and there's no Dechuya of Sakana. Hence, the Chinuch is justified by adding the condition Miblishi yistakein b'dov. And the Brisker Rav wants to explain a parsha in Tanakh based on this chiddush. In Shoftim, it says in the Tanakh that Zvulin am cheref nafsholomus v'naftoli al merome sade. This is part of what we call Shiras Dvora. And Dvora says the following. She tells Barak, who's the Sar Tzavai, she says to him, take 10,000 people from Naphtali and Zvulun and go out to battle against the enemy. Sharashvatim, they were not taken as soldiers. They were not obligated in the mitzvah Mulchama. That was incumbent upon Naphtali and Zvulun. But they were mechuyovim lovoli Ezra. Whatever, you know, in the back front, not in the front lines, but in the back lines. What are they called? Not the back lines. In behind the lines, they had to make sure to supply whatever was necessary in order to achieve and implement the mitzvah of Hachrein Tachrein. So he says the following: when Shiras Dvora says Cheref Nafsham Lomus, it's referring specifically to these two Shvatim, namely to Zvulun and to Naphtali. Why? Because they were obligated in the mitzvah milchama. And if they're obligated in the mitzvah milchama, then cheref nafsha, meaning there's no sakonis lefashos. But all the other Shvatim, they were obligated to be part of the war effort, but not b'toras milchama. They were lovel liezra, and to be mekayim in the mitzvah of hachrin tachrin. So since they didn't have a mitzvah milchama per se, therefore she deliberately leaves them out of this description of charaf nafsham, because they don't have to put their life into danger. Their mitzvah is not the mitzvah of milchama, but rather mitzvah of love only Ezra to help in the back lines. And therefore that mitzvah is like any other mitzvah, and it is overridden by sakonis nefashos. So basically, just to summarize the last paragraph, what we see from the chinuch in terms of Zayin Amavim is a gevaldige chiddush, that there are two dimensions to this mitzvah. One is a mitzvah melchama, and the other is a mitzvah of ba echad mehem liyadcha, that you have to kill him. And the fundamental difference between the two is that the first in melchama overrides the pikuach nefesh halacha, and therefore dechuya pikuach nefesh v'sakona eitzel milchama. But the second category, that you have an obligation to kill an individual member of the Zayin Amavim, that's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. It doesn't have the upgraded status of a mitzvah milchama. Hence, the chinuch adds his stipulation, miblishi yistakin b'do. Now let's fast forward to the mitzvah of Amalek, again within the framework of the Sefer Achinuch. In the mitzvah Amalek, the Chinuch opens up with the following statement: Zohi mitzvah mutelas al tzibur. So it sounds like, with regard to Amalek, the mitzvah exhausts itself in milchama. But then the Chinuch adds the following sentence, and he writes, ube'emes, ki gam al kol yochid mi Yisrael hascharim mutal hachiyuv lahargam, which again is very consistent with what he said in the case of Zayin Amavim, namely that when the Torah commands us in milchama against certain specific nations, whether it's the seven nations that occupy the land or whether it's the nation of Amalek, included in that obligation is not just the chovas milchama on the tzibur, but also choval kol yachid v'yachid misra. That means if I encounter an Amaleki, I have to kill him on the spot. And the chinuch adds, v'overal zeu ba echad mizara shal Amalek v'lo harago bitel esei zu. He has violated a mitzvah's esei.
He is mistaken himself.
Oh, so the Sefer Gvuras Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Sorotzkin, asks the following question: why didn't the Sefer Chinuch add the following condition? Here he omits belishi yistakim b'dover. Vayinirim he said the sfirle lachinuch the gam mitzvahs milchama bi'amolek commits sakrama zayin amim milvad achim lilochem im zayin amim, meaning as milchama against the nation, ikar mitzvah larakol echad mehem every amolek he should boli yodo v'afilu shelo b'shas milchama k'mochein b'amalek milvad hachobes milchama ikar mitzvah neyatzol limchos amalek v'ayim mitzvah abutelos al kol echad v'echad k'mo kol mitzvah afil shelo b'shas milchama. Oh, v'tzorech iyun my time hachinuch lo hosif, he should have added the stipulation when he mentioned bol yodo echad mizar amalek v'lo harogo bitul mitzvah sesei, he should have added the stipulation that only a mimyachal harogo mibli she is stacking the dove.
You have to
limit
yourself
to Zayin Amavim,
Zayin Amavim, clearly.
Oh, yeah, what do you want to say?
I don't know.
Right. No, you're right. He's driving.
He's the builder.
Yeah, he's driving us to a mathematical conclusion here that there's some fundamental difference between Zayin Amavim and Amalek. And the question is, what is that fundamental distinction that would justify that in the case of Amalek, even if I'm killing one single Amaleki, I'm fighting a battle and the law of Dechiyah Sakana applies, and I have to put my life into danger. Yeah, I'm reminded, I went on a trip to Poland with an organization called Heritage. I don't know if you heard of it, Michael Burrell. Anyway, so we're on buses for like 10 hours a day. Did your kids go on it? You have to be a rich man to afford it.
I mean,
I went for free. Oh, they went to March. Yeah. Anyway, there was, you know, for the Maaseret guys, we offered this. Yeah. The yeshiva tried to chip in a little, but it was very expensive. But the one particular year, I guess we had some rich parents, I don't know what, there were 37 Maaseret guys that went on the trip. So Michael calls me up, he says, Rav Rozon, go for free. Whether I did the right thing or not, I don't know. To this day, I mean, I still wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. But not from what we saw in the camps, you know, behind you, but what we saw on the way in the bus routes, because they show you all these movies. So in one of the movies, I think it's called, I forget what it's called, Retreat from Sobibu or something. I'm not pronouncing it right.
Sobibu.
So they break out of the camp and they kill a number of Nazis. So I was thinking to myself, if you assume that Nazis are a Molech, which I think is a very fair assumption, by the way, but they weren't fighting a battle against a Molech, so it wasn't really Melchama. But according to the Sefer HaChinuch, there's a mitzvah to kill every single Amaleki, so they were involved in the mitzvah of Chiyas Amalek. However, they were putting their lives into danger. A number of them died, of course, and many of them survived. It's an amazing story. And they put their lives into danger. But if you medayik in the chinuch that he omitted the veloshi istakulit over the case of Amalek, it means that you have to put your life into danger in order to kill Amalek. But the question is, why is that so? Okay, Shalom Aleichem, by the way, if you want to join us, we're talking about one of your favorite topics, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek.
Sounds good,
okay. So he says the following, we're on the top of page Yud Tes in this little handout that I gave you.
Yeah, okay.
Now, yeah, this is the Gvuris Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Sorotzkin. And he says the following, that if you take a look in the Chinuch, in the Mitzvah HaMolek, he writes that women are exempt from the Mitzvah HaMolek. This sounds very similar to what we said in Rashi, that Rashi classifies the Mitzvah Melchama in HaMolek as a Melchemes Rishus. The Mishnah says in a Melchemes Mitzvah, even a woman is obligated in the Mitzvah. So it makes sense that if the Chinuch would accept Rashi Shita, and we would classify HaMolek as a Melchemes Rishus, therefore hence, he exempts women from that mitzvah.
Why does he call it a rishus if the Torah tells you?
That's the whole article here that we're trying to answer this question. Where you came in just in time to hear the punchline. How could it be that the Melchom of Amalek is not, the Rambam over and over again in three places says that Amalek is a Melchemes mitzvah. Therefore you don't need Beis and Shalayit Aleph. Therefore the Rambam says that women are obligated. And therefore the Rambam says that in the case of Melchemes mitzvah, In Amalek, there is no heter of Eishes if Hastor. Again, that was a long discussion, but three times over, the Rambam classifies Milchemes Amalek as a Milchemes Mitzvah, and he's right because the Torah commands us Milchamal Hashem Amalek Midor Dor. So it's got to be one of the mitzvahs. Now we're adding to Rashi. Not only does Rashi seem to classify Milchemes Amalek as a Milchemes Rishus, but even the Chinuch seems to apply that it's a Melchemes Rishus to some extent, because he says that women are not obligated, and yet women are obligated to Melchemes Mitzvah. If you take a look, for example,
in Melchama Kanegi the Shiva Alamin, nobody argues that that's
a correct. That's unquestionable. That's explicit in the Mishnah, in Sota. It's also implicit here in the Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin that we're learning now. Melchemes Zayin Am is a Melchemes Mitzvah. The question is, what about Melchemes Amalek? The Rambam says Melchemes Amalek is no less of a mitzvah than Melchemes Zayin Am. What do we do with Rashi and the Chinuch that seem to imply, if we're right in reading the cards, again, that was the last half hour that you missed, that it's a Melchemes Rishus? How could it be that Melchemes Amalek is a Melchemes Rishus? On the top paragraph, he quotes the Sefer HaChinuch in Tofresh Dalet, who says that Al Kol Yachid Yachid Yisrael Mizcharim Mutal Chiyuv Lahargan V'Nashim Einim Chayovas V'Mitzvus Melchemes Amalek. So how could it be that women are not chayav in Melchemes Amalek when the Mishnah itself says that women have to go out to battle in a Melchemes Mitzvah? Obviously, the Chinuch is limiting that to Zayin Amamim. How could that be so? So what we're up to is a paragraph that starts Vehanira, and this is the breakthrough paragraph. Now, if you accept this thesis, it has tremendous implications, because he's going to put Melchemes HaMolek into a very, very special category. And just as by way of introduction, you know, the issue at stake is going to be the following. A, does the mitzvah of Amalek apply today? B, does the mitzvah of Amalek apply vis-a-vis every single Amaleki that comes my way? And C, is there a halacha, a requirement of yitzil and milchama when it comes to Amalek? Is there a matter of going out to battle? We're going to see soon that there's a halacha of a yitzil and milchama. Okay, we'll get back to that in just a minute. He says the following. There's a fundamental difference between Mechias Amalek and the mitzvah of destroying the seven nations, of Yeshua's Melchama Hachrein Tachrimim against the seven nations. He says the following. In the case of Zion Amamim, we have a framework that's called Melchama, and that Melchama requires that we go out as a tzibur, as a community of Israel, a nation, and we battle against those seven nations that occupy the land of Israel. That's Achovas Melchama. In the case of Amalek, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is to destroy the Amalekim. And the pasuk says, Milchamol Hashem ba'Amalek, Midar Dar. What is the significance of Midar Dar? Every single generation requires and obligates us in the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. And that Mechias Amalek is radically different than Milchama. Again, in the case of Zion Amin, we have a framework called Milchama. In the case of Amalek, we're going to have something which is a milchama, but it's not a milchama, meaning it's a very unique kind of milchama. How do we see such a thing?
You mean it's
an Esfasesh Esmangroma? No. Nothing to do with Esmangroma. Give me 5 minutes and then the floor is yours. I haven't even gotten to first base yet, so give me a minute just to present it. Here's what goes on. David HaMelech is going to kill what's called a Ger Amaleki. And this is discussed in the Mechilta at the end of Parshas Bishalach in the framework of the mitzvah of Amalek. And the Mechilta, which you'll see right here in the middle of this paragraph on Nira, says the following. Nizkar David Biosa Shah. Right? What happens is this Ger admits that he's an Amaleki, and David puts him to death. And the Parsha, or shall I say the Mechilta, in very dramatic terms, describes what crossed David Amalek's mind, and why did he make this decision to put this Amaleki to death. After all, he was a Ger. Be also shod nizkar masha omer Moshe Rabbeinu im yavo mikol umos sheba olam lizgayer yikablu. Moshe Rabbeinu got the mandate from on high that any member of any nation in the world, if he comes forward to convert and accept the Yadus, we accept him. However, the exception is mi beso shal Amalek lo yikablu. If he comes from Amalek, we don't accept him. Again, there are a lot of kashas on this Mechilta, but not for now. Let's just accept the Mechilta at face value. Miyad, immediately, as soon as this Ger admitted him that he was an Amaleki, meaning he was born as an Amaleki, Vayomei lov David domcha al roshecha, you yourself, by your own confession, have brought about your death. And David kills him on the spot. And the Mechilta ends with the following words, Lekach Nemar Midar Dar. That's what the Torah means when it adds Milchamol Hashem Ba'amalek Midar Dar. What does it mean Midar Dar? After all, Shaul HaMelech was commanded in the mitzvah Milchemes Amalek. David, when he kills this Ger Amaleki, is no longer battling against Amalek. So you and I would have said that maybe David killing this Amalek has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Milchama. Maybe there's a separate din that I'm obligated to kill every Amaleki, even outside the framework of Milchama. So I encounter an Amaleki, if I know he's an Amaleki, and I'm going to destroy it. And that's my mitzvah. But you can't say that, because the Mechilta is darshaning the pasuk Milchamol Hashem ba'Amalek midar dar. And on that pasuk at the end of Bishalach, the Mechilta mentions the the episode of David HaMelech and says that with regard to this Amaleki, David has him killed on the spot because Lekach Nemar Midor Dor. Now the beginning of that pasuk Midor Dor is Milchama Hashem Amalek. Says the Gevuras Yitzchak, Mevuar, what I would like to derive from this Mechilta, again we can fight against the Gevuras Yitzchak, that David harag leger amaleki mitzad mitzvas mechias amalek af shelo ha'isa b'shas milchama. Right, it was only David facing this one individual, right, one against one. He was a yachid, and David puts him to death. From a chilta yalefla, how did David HaMelech derive this conclusion from the pasuk that says milchama l'Hashem b'amalek midar dar? In other words, the Mechilta understood that in this pasuk of Milchama Hashem Ba'amalek Midar Dar is a chiyuv to kill an individual Amaleki, even though we're not in an official battle against them. There's no nation against nation. It's one Jew against one Amaleki. We have to put him to death, and that's inherent in the Chovas Milchama of Amalek. Because again, it's derived from the pasuk Milchama Hashem Ba'amalek Midar Dar. So the chiddush of Midar Dar is that this mitzvah Milchama applies even vis-a-vis a yachid. Now watch what's going to be the incredible nafkamina. What he's saying is the following. In the case of Zion Amamin, there are two chiyuvim. There's one chiyuv called Milchama, and there's another chiyuv to put to death Lo Sechai Kol Neshama, any member of the Zion Amamin. The fundamental difference between the two, as we saw in the Chinuch, is whether or not you have to put your life into danger. In the case of a one-on-one confrontation between a Jew and a Yavusi, he would not put his life into danger because that's not the mitzvah Milchama. That's a separate mitzvah called Tzachai Kol Neshama. But in the case of Amalek, where the Torah extended the mitzvah Milchama to apply even one against one, that means that when David HaMelech faces this Amaleki, he kills him because of the mitzvah of Milchama Hashem Ba'amalek Midar Dar, which means that the Midar Dar just extends the mitzvah Milchama to apply in any generation, even when we're not in an official battle. We haven't declared war against the Amalekim. Nevertheless, we have to kill each Amaleki as an individual as part of the mitzvah Milchama, Rabbi Osai. If it's part of the mitzvah Milchama, then what didn't kick in? Even if he has to put his life into danger. Hence, our diuk in the chinuch. Why is it that in the mitzvah Zayin Amamin, the chinuch adds that if you're facing one of the members of Zayin Amamin, you have to put him to death if and only if you would believe in Shistak in the Dover, you would not be putting your life into danger. Because that's not part of Milchama. When he gets to the mitzvah of Milchames Amalek, he says again, you have to kill every single Amalek in a one-on-one confrontation, but he omits the condition of Belishius Takin Bedover, implying that you would have to kill an Amaleki. Rav Osi, do you hear what's going on here? And this is Midar Dar. You would have to kill an Amaleki if you identified him as such, even if it meant putting your life into danger. Why? Because you're fighting a Milchama. And the Milchama extends beyond the bounds of the Tzibur. It includes even the Yachid. If this be the case, let's go on to the next paragraph. He says, "Bikra d'chsiv milchama l'Hashem be'amalek shamalchama hi al pi Hashem." What does it mean by pi Hashem? It means the following: I don't need any official declaration of war against Amalek. I don't need a melech or whatever other dinim, like the Ravitumim, maybe a Bezin Shel Shiviyak, whatever I need as a decision and a proclamation, let's go out to battle against Amalek. It's Lashem. Lashem means it's an ongoing, continuous, upstanding milchama against Amalek. Shechal Torah's milchama me'atzmo. You might underline the word me'atzmo. Me'atzmo means that I don't need some sort of an official declaration of war. Tamid me'elav ha'milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midar dar. And if that be the case, then we can shed a whole new light on Rashi Shita. Yesh lomar b'das Rashi d'mevadai milchemes amolek havim milchemes mitzvah. Rashi never meant to question the fundamental premise that milchemes amolek is milchemes mitzvah. So what did Rashi mean when he said that all the milchemes except for Yoshua are milchemes rishus? Svir Leila Rashi, the Milchemes Hamolik lo nemer klal dine milchama. All the restrictions, all the conditions for regulations, I would say, that apply to milchama are suspended with regard to Amolik. Right, the most fundamental of all restrictions is that we need a tzibur, and we need a declaration, we need a melech, and so forth and so on, to go out to battle. All that is dropped. It's midor dor because it's Lashem Amolik. And therefore, in every single milchama, we need what's called the Yitzia Milchama. Yitzia Milchama, Ki Teitzei L'Milchama Laivecha, which means that we need an official declaration. And if it's a Milchemes Mitzvah, then it's Al Pi Melech. If it's a Milchemes Rishus, it's Al Pi Bezin Shalayin Aleph. Those are the dinim of Yitzia L'Milchama. And that's the Mishnah here at the beginning of Sanhedrin. Ein Motzin L'Milchama, L'Milchemes Rishus, El Pi Bezin Shalayin Aleph. The Rambam also codifies this halacha of going out to Milchama. The Rambam in Perkei Milchus Melachim, he says the following: Ein tzarch litol barishus. As far as the Milchama's mitzvah is concerned, you don't need the rishus of the Bez Nagadol. Ela hamelech yotze me'atzma b'chol eis. Again, yotze me'atzma. It's all about yitzia l'milchama. Avol milchama's rishus. Eino motzi ha'am LLP bezin shalayin aleph. You see from the Rambam's language that there's a concept called Yitzia L'Milchama. That's one of the formal regulations of Milchama, that we have to have a Yitzia L'Milchama. And the Yitzia L'Milchama in the case of Milchama's mitzvah requires a melech. A Yitzia L'Milchama in the case of Milchama's rishus requires the Bezin Shalayin Aleph. But when we get to Amalek, where there's a continuous situation of Milchama, we don't need a Yitzia L'Milchama, we don't need a melech. We don't need a Bez Nagadol. And therefore Rashi, when he discusses the requirement of a Bez Nagadol, he doesn't even mention Amalek. Why? Because he's asking the following question. Within the context of Yitzia L'Milchama, what do we require for a Yitzia L'Milchama? Do we require just a king? Or do we require a Bezin Shel Shivim V'Echad? So Rashi says there's only one case in which the Melech takes us out to battle, and he's Yotze L'Milchama without asking, without achieving the approval of the Bez Nagadol, and that's the case of Yoshua in conquering the land of Israel. Why? Because that's the only case in Yitzia L'Milchama that we don't require a Bez Shel Shivim V'Echad because the Milchama is mitzvah. But if you would have a mitzvah to go out to battle without a Yitzia L'Milchama, we don't need Yitzia L'Milchama. The Rashi knows very well in such a case we don't need Bez Nagadol. In fact, we don't even need a melech. And therefore, we begin to understand the Rashi about Yifas Tohar. I'm rushing it a little bit because we're going to stop the Mirsa Shem at 11:15. So Rashi says by Eishis Yifas Tohar that there's no heter. We suspend the heter of Eishis Yifas Tohar in the case of Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, because he classifies that as a Milchemes Mitzvah, and a Milchemes Mitzvah is no heter of Eishis Yifas Tohar. Why didn't Rashi exclude Milchemes Amalek? The answer is because Pshita, in the case of Milchemes Amalek, throughout all the generations, we're in battle against Amalek, and we don't take any captives. And therefore, for sure, there's not going to be any Heter of Yifas Tohar. Rashi was only addressing the case of Milchemes Yoshua, because in that case, there's an official Milchama, and we have to go out to Milchama. Maybe within the context of the official Milchama, there may be a Heter of Eishis Yifas Tohar. So Rashi says, no, because here, there's a din of Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. So within the context of the Milchama against Zayin Amin, we don't take any captives. And if that be the case, he says, then maybe we begin to understand the status of a woman. Let's just see the last two paragraphs, and with that, we'll that try to wrap things up. He says the following: if Milchemes Amalek is so radically different than all other Milchamas, and there's no chiyuv on the tzibur per se, because again, we're always involved in Milchama, even against every single Yochanan, and even in every generation, even though there's no official Milchama, and we don't require a Yitzia L'Milchama, if that be the case, we begin to understand on the bottom of page Yutes, going on to the top of page Chav, that the Chinuch in Mitzvah Tov Chav Hei, in regard to Ariga Zayin Amimim, he says that the mitzvah vis-a-vis the yachid only applies if he's not going to put his life into danger. But when the Sefer Achinuch gets to the mitzvah of Milchama, he doesn't add that proviso. And the answer is because in the case of Melchemes Amalek, which is fundamentally different, we're not talking about a Melchama in the official sense. We're always involved in a Melchama, even against the Yachid, one individual member of Amalek. And if that's also considered a Melchama, then the law is, as we saw in the Minchas Chinuch, that with regard to the mitzvah Melchama, Dechuya Sakana Eitzel Melchama, Masha'enkin in the mitzvah of Zayin Amamin, there is a separate category of Lo Sechai called the Shama, which has nothing to do with Melchama, but that's why mitzvah to kill a member of the Zayin Amamin, that falls into the general rubric, the general category of all mitzvahs, hence there's no mitzvah in the case of Sakana. But as far as Nashim is concerned, we have a principle of Nashim Lav Benos Melchama Ninu. Women don't have a chiyuv of milchama. He says, "Zeh pashut dibali adam echad mizayin amamim shelo b'milchama." There's no difference between a woman and a man because it's not a mitzvah seishes mine grum, as you pointed out before, and therefore women are obligated just as men are obligated. So, if an individual member of the Yavusi would come in front of a woman, she would have to kill him according to the law. Again, with the proviso that it's not a sakon. And that would be because now we're talking about a mitzvah say she'ein hazman grom and noshim chayovas, but it's not a mitzvah melchama. So the principle of noshim lav v'nos melchama linu doesn't apply. And therefore, when we get to the Mishnah in Sota, and the Mishnah says that a melchama mitzvah kol yotzim afilu kalalich mihupasa, ein ze klal shenoshim chayovim lilchom. Right, to help them in the back lines, bishbil mitzvahs hachrim tachrim. So it's not the Torah's melchama that they go out to battle. They're going to be helping the troops, and they have a mitzvah of hachrim tachrim, but that's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. And since it's not a mitzvah that is time bound, then the women is if afilu kala yotzim michu pasa. Again, in the condition that there's no sakana. Umeato, he says towards the end of this paragraph, Hare osi shapra vadakos of Rashi vachinut dinoshim pturus mi mitzvahs mechiyas amolek. And we don't find it, any sort of exception to the rule of afilu kala yotzis mechuposo in the Zayin Amin, we said afilu kala yotzis mechuposo for the mitzvah of hachrim tachrim, the individual mitzvah. As far as melchama is concerned, labanos melchama mitzvah. But in the case of Amalek, there is no such thing as an individual mitzvah. It's always from A to Z, from beginning to end, it's always a mitzvah milchama. And if it's a mitzvah milchama, we're going to apply the principle at Nashim, Labanos milchama mitzvah. So the din of the Mishnah that Kala Yotzis Mechupasa, says Rashi, only applies to Hachrim Tachrim Zayin Amamin, because that's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, and it's not Zman Groma, it's not Melchoma, and women are obligated. But when we get to the mitzvah of Chiyas HaMolek, which is always a mitzvah Melchoma, and the Chomis Melchoma is incumbent upon every individual vis-a-vis every member of HaMolek, Nashim Lavenos Melchoma, hence they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Chiyas HaMolek. Any questions? Now that we finished it, and we got it under the... it's an amazing piece. I mean, if you get a chance to go over it, then there's a lot of details. So I wish everyone a great day.
Oh, so when he knows, let's say it's an old man who's walking on crutches, let's say, and somebody points out an Amalek, and he's 100% certain that he's an Amalek.
Then he's about, he has to kill him on the spot.
Yeah, but he's going to kill himself. The guy will kill him. He's a big bullhan. The Amalek, he is a big
bullhan. Oh, you mean he doesn't even have a chance?
No,
the Mitzvah, I didn't follow who was holding the crutch. That
right, right. Each individual, but not the
right, only if there's a chance of success. For that you need the strategic experts of the military.
Right, but if it's self-evident that the guy's he is dead if he tries it.
Right, then it's an exercise of futility. That's not a mitzvah melchama. Mitzvah melchama always requires a certain percentage of statistical probability of success. If there's a good chance of success, then according to this shtickle Torah, which is an amazing chiddush, and it's based on the omission of three words in the chinuch. Again, I'm not saying the Rishon would agree with the Chinuch, but at least according to the Chinuch, he deliberately omits the words Belishi Yistakin B'dover in the case of Mechiyas HaMolek. That's pretty wild. It means that the Mechiyas HaMolek applies even when you encounter an individual member of HaMolek, and therefore you have to put your life into danger.
Belishi Yistakin. I mean, there are many situations in life. Crossing the road, Yistakin.
Right. I think Sakana is usually defined by a what's called not a rove but a miud hanikar, which would probably be somewhere between, again, you know, you have to look in the poskim, between 10 and, let's say, 30 percentage. If they're 10% or 30%, that would be a miyud hamotz. I think I once told you, gentlemen, the story that my father was sitting at a chasa with Rabbi Shabik, with all his chaverim, so they were kidding around with Rabbi Shabik, and they said to him, if we told you that that man over there was an Amaleki, what would you do? He says, I take out my sword and I kill him on the spot. And he wasn't joking, by the way. Have you ever heard of Rabbi Shabik? He was an interesting, a colorful character. I once heard a shiur from him. I was in stitches. He was absolutely a riot.
Who is among you today?
Right. That's the whole question about the Nazis, whether they have the status of
Amalek.
So my Rebbe of Salvation used to say in the name of his father that any nation today that will say, that will declare we want to destroy the Jewish people, they have the status.
It's
a big finish. Yeah, it could be. I mean, it goes way beyond the Iranians. I don't know if you heard the news about what's going on in Toronto today, in the city of Toronto, where I spent 2 years of my life. There's a group of Arabs who have openly said that we want to destroy the Jews. I mean, take a look. You'll see it in the news. It's mind-boggling. But there are many people out there who probably would fit into that broader definition of Amalek. The question is Amalek has to be a genetic testing, you know? Or is Amalek any nation that says and declares we want to destroy? L'chuv v'nachidem yigoy, that makes them Amalek. So that, you know, Rav Salvechik, because of his psak of his father, he was against reparations because, you know, the din is that we don't get any benefit from Amalek. It's all also by no. But they say, and I discussed it once with Rav Shechter, that at the end of his life he changed his mind because he realized that the state of Israel couldn't have even gotten up on the map without reparations from Germany. I mean, all the roads and who knows what. But I don't know. I'm just telling you, in theory, you know, you can wonder whether reparations is a good thing. I mean, others are opposed to reparations because it gives the Nazis, you know, and their descendants, you know, their followers, a certain sense of conscience. They can live with their conscience because, after all, we paid them up. You know,
a kapara.
A kapara, yeah, we got a kapara.
But I like the concept that any nation that declares that their aim is to destroy the Jewish people goes into the cloud of
Amalek. Right, that was the Chiddush of Moshe Soloveitchik. You know, he based it again on an omission in the Rambam. Our whole shtickle Torah today is on an omission in the Sefer HaChinuch. He based them because when he gets to Zayin Amamin, the Rambam adds Basan Cheruvu Bilbel Asa'umos. When he gets to the very next halacha to Amalek, he leaves that out. So many of them first say he relied on what he said in the previous Rambam. But that's against the whole methodology of Brisk. You know, in the Rambam, they read every halacha as a separate chapter almost. And there's no way that the Rambam would say something without repeating the basic conditions. So how can the Rambam omit that condition that Basan Cheru Bilbel Asa'umos? We don't know how to identify him. Like, here's where Ramosha came up with this Gevaldik Achidish. And I would have said that Ramosha was darshaning. It's a very nice homiletic set. But my Rebbe took it very seriously. He really thought that was the...
Oh, that Moshiach will be able to identify who
the... Oh, that's already... That's interesting. Yeah, okay, Rabbi, we'll stop here. I have a shiur at 11:45. That's in the Masechta Ksuvos. And I wish you all a great...